Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. Thank you for calling in. And before we go into the word, let's hear a song. Amen.
Of love that the world would ever know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this Son came as a lamb. He would become a conquering king, but he came as a lamb. He would be King of kings and Lord of lords, but he came as a lamb, and he came for you.
People came from miles around, all to worship and bow down. Oh, what a privilege it was. They called him Lamb of God.
Shepherds came seeking this Lamb, and their lives would never be the same. The angelic host formed a choir and sang from the heavenlies. Wise men were wise enough to seek and bow down to this Lamb. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came because he loves you. It's great to know that God so loved the world, but more important to know that God loves you.
Now hear it is.
Said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's still saving. He's still redeeming. And he's still there for you today. Receive him. Say yes to him. And he will change your life. Time cannot change him. And ages do not time him. He's still the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome you again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries. And I want to thank Pastors Stephen and Ann Butterfield for allowing me to come before you this evening. They also have a ministry called Turn On the Light Ministries. Their broadcast airs every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can call the same number that you called in to this broadcast. They're also assistant pastors at Light Up the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. The senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and the lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They hold their services on Sunday mornings, 10:45 a.m., and they have Bible studies on Wednesdays at noon and 7 p.m. So let's get into the Word, amen? I'm going to be coming to you from 1 John, the third chapter. And I'm going to read the 8th and the 5th verse. Not the 5th and the 8th, but I'm going to start with the 8th and go back to the 5th verse, amen? 1 John, 3rd chapter, starting at verse 8. And it says, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So let's read it again. It said, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested." This is why the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now let's go to verse 5. "And ye know that he was manifested," speaking of the Son of God, "to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Now let's go to St. Matthew's, the first chapter. I want to lay a foundation first. St. Matthew, the first chapter, starting at the 18th verse. And we're going to read to verse 25, amen? St. Matthew's first chapter, 18 through 25. Excuse me. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this day that you have made, God. For we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for this time that you allowed us to have to come before you, God, and to receive your message. Father, I decrease that you may increase. I move aside, Father, that you may lay aside. I step out of your way, God, that you may establish your word. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, the title of this message tonight is called Trading Places. Trading Places. A few nights ago, I was watching a movie called Trading Places. And the characters in this movie was played by Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Eddie Murphy in the movie was a homeless man, a thief, a trickster, playing like he was blind and had no legs, rolling around on a board begging for money. And Dan Aykroyd was playing a rich man, a broker. And so one day, two men got together and made a bet. It was two brothers in the movie. And their bet was, if we take everything away from the character that Dan Aykroyd was playing, the rich man, if we take all of his money, all of his credit cards, take away his home, take away his job, and then strip him to the point where his reputation is destroyed, he would end up being not only homeless, but an angry man that would lead him into committing crimes. And along with that bit, they took the character that Eddie Murphy was playing, gave him everything that Dan Aykroyd had, the money, the job, the house, the credit cards, the reputation. And so when I was watching that movie, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is similar to what Jesus did. In a sense, not exactly. And so that's where this title came from, Trading Places. Now, as I was reading in Matthew, says that the child that Mary was pregnant with said when he was be born, his name would be called Jesus. And Jesus, the definitions of Jesus are Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. The anointed one. Messiah. The Savior of the world. So, those are some of the things that the name Jesus represents. Now, let's turn to Romans, the 5th chapter. Another thing the Lord said to me was, He said, a lot of people listen to the Word of God, but they don't really read the Word of God like they're supposed to as their daily bread. And so, this evening, we're going to be doing some reading, amen? Because he approached it like this. His word of God is actually him talking to us. So he just wants to speak to us tonight and encourage us and tell us who we are. Amen. And he said the best way that could be done is through his word. So let's go to Romans 5th chapter, starting at the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Listen to these next few scriptures here. I'm going to read 6 again. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Says, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Who is the figure of him that was to come. Let's keep that in mind. Verse 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, by one man disobedience many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And this is the key verse. Said all that to lay that foundation, but this is the key verse. Verse 21 says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Keep in your mind the word righteousness. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, 14th through the 21st verse. First, 2 Corinthians. I just have to throw this in. I heard somebody say 2 Corinthians, but we ain't going to touch that. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, the 14th through the 21st verse. I don't know why I said that. All right, verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, now then. Somebody say, now then. I can't hear you, but say it anyways. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Glory to God. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him sin for us. Talking about Jesus. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. Let me read that again. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Trading places. Glory to God. So there's that word righteousness again. Let's look at some definitions of the word righteousness. The actions and positive results of a sound relationship between God and a person. The actions and positive results of a sound relationship between God and a person. Uprightness, honest, truthful, just, a conscious choice, and regular practice of doing what's right. Honorable, a firm holding to codes of right behavior and the guidance of a high sense of honor and duty. To be in right standing with God. So those are some of the definitions of righteousness. To be in right standing with God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 9th verse. 2 Corinthians 8th chapter and the 9th verse. Excuse me. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's the King James Version. Let me read it in the Amplified Version. Amen. Second Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 9th verse, in the Amplified Version. It says, for you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. Glory to God. Abundantly supplied. Hallelujah. We're also going to read that scripture in the Message version. 2 Corinthians 8 chapter 9 verse. And it says, "You are familiar with the generosity of our Master, Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich." Says, rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now let's go to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and the 19th verse. Philippians 4 and 19. And I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. Amen. 4:19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Now, we know that scripture in the King James Version says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the King James Version. Now I'm going to read the New Living Translation again. It says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your need from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is painting a picture. Let's look at the word rich. Rich. Having high value or quality. Having high value or quality. Having abundant possessions, and especially material wealth, magnificently impressive. Having abundant possessions and especially material wealth, magnificently impressive, sumptuous. Glory to God. That sounds rich, sumptuous. Next time you go to the mirror, just look at yourself and say, "You're sumptuous." Glory to God. You're magnificently impressive. Well supplied or endowed. Well supplied or endowed. To furnish with an income, especially to make a grant of money providing for the continuing support or maintenance of, to provide with something freely or naturally. Let's read that one again. To furnish with an income, especially to make a grant of money providing for the continuing support, not just one time, but continuing support or maintenance of, to provide with something freely or naturally. But this is my favorite definition here. Definition of rich. Glory to God. Says king, royal. Did you hear that? The definition of rich is king, royal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heaven is filled with mansions. Streets are paved with gold. Says, though he was rich, he became poor for us. So, what made Jesus rich? Because 2 Corinthians said that we knew him in the flesh. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. Said we knew him in the flesh. So we know what he did. We know how he lived. We knew his family. What they did, how they lived. They were from Nazareth. There's a question in the Bible that says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They were looked down upon as poor people. Back in the day, we used to say Pope. Poor people. So they were looking at them in the natural sense. But it also says that he was as rich as he was, he gave it all away so that he may become poor. And we become as rich as he was. Glory to God. Let's go to St. John, the 14th chapter. St. John, 14th chapter. St. John, the 14th chapter. Trading places. St. John 14, verses 1 through 4. Why did it say Jesus was rich? Okay. Verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So if there are many mansions in his Father's house, sounds like his father was rich, amen? Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Let's go to Revelation, 21st chapter. Revelation 21. Starting at verse 9. Like I say, we're painting the picture. Revelation 21 and 9. says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee bride, the Lamb's wife. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. We just heard a song that said he came as a lamb. Glory to God. And became a king. Verse 10 says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Excuse me. I want to say that again. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Jesus said in St. John 3rd chapter, he says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's look at that. We're going to go back to Revelation. St. John 3rd chapter. Let's go there. Thank you, Father. St. John, the 3rd chapter. And, of course, this is the story of Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. And even though he was interested in talking to Jesus and interested in being born again, learning how to be born again, knowing how to be born again, he wanted to ask Jesus some questions. And even though he was interested, he didn't want anybody else to know. So let's start at verse 1. St. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So he wasn't the only one, but he was the spokesperson, so to speak. He went on the behalf of others. Says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And verse 4 says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Wow. Challenging Jesus' intellect. I call that a foolish question myself. He asked him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. So in order to see, in order to understand, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And while we're here, let's go ahead and touch verse 16, where mostly everybody has heard this verse, and a lot of people can quote it. Chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Key verse here. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Going back to the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world, God sent Jesus in order that the world might be saved. And it says in verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In the name Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, now let's go back to Revelation, the 21st chapter. Revelation 21, verse 9 says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." So that's why God wanted to show us back in John 3, that in order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born in the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And verse 11 says, "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." So the Lord is showing us this to give us an idea of what heaven looks like, to give us a description of what heaven looks like, why it says that Jesus was rich. Amen. Verse 12 says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. Verse 16 says, "And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and the measure of the city, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, verse 17, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Here comes the description. Excuse me. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, whatever it is, is beautiful. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. These are all different types of beautiful stone. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Excuse me. So that's a description of heaven. Amen. Now let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians the third chapter. God said, let my word do the talking. Let my word do the teaching. Colossians, the third chapter, first verse, excuse me, says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. It says, let's go back to verse 1. Says, if ye then be risen with Christ, excuse me, for we know that Jesus came to live, to die, and to raise from the grave. And now he's seated in heaven on the right hand of God. Says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So that talks about a mentality. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians, first chapter, 3-7 verse. Ephesians 1:3-7 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, excuse me, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So that's the message tonight. You've been accepted in the beloved. In Jesus, you've been accepted. And because he's the head, we're the body. Wherever the head is, the body is. Because he's seated in heavenly places on the right hand of God right now, so are we. That's the mentality he wants us to have. He traded places for us. He came down from his throne on the right hand of God in heaven, gave up everything that was just described, which is only a touch of what we can comprehend. He came to this earth, gave it all up so that he may become poor, and that we may be made rich in him. Hallelujah. Trading places. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this message. Thank you for calling. And if anyone wants to share a testimony, have something to say, just press 1 on your phone. Press the number 1 on your phone. And you will be allowed to speak. Amen. If not, we're going to go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to trade places with us, to give us access to you, Father. And Jesus, we thank you for giving up everything to come and trade places with us. Now, as we take this word, use us for your glory, God, and help us to walk in who we are. Royal priesthood, holy nation, chosen generation, a peculiar people, children of Almighty God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.